Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And from an even further distance on the bullpen phone, my pal Chris Suk.
Oh, I appreciate that. I was wondering if you're going to say my pal. I'm a little giddy tonight, you know that?
You're giddy? I did not
know
that.
Why?
Well, you know why? It's just this kind of... I feel we're a bit getting to normal here. There's a lot of sports going on this weekend, and it feels good. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels good about maybe a little bit of normalcy coming. Also, I do say that my parents both have finally got their first appointment later on in this month. So that's good for them. Great news, right? Yeah, so it's good for them, right? So I'm excited for that. It seems like they're starting to push out some vaccines, or at least getting appointments to people and stuff like that. So people getting the jabs in Manitoba, and then that's fantastic.
I think the sunshine definitely helps too.
I think all of the above. Yeah, all of it. It's we're into whoever, you know, is listening wherever in the world or whatever, but in Manitoba, we're kind of getting to spring here, right? I can feel like we were actually out in a patio. It was very hearty Manitoba, me and Lee J, like on St. Patty's Day this week. And we were, it wasn't quite like balmy yet, but it was good enough to take advantage of it.
Well, I've been at the park after supper every night this week with my kids, so.
I mean, it's not quite baseball weather yet, but no. We're getting there.
No, a little hard contact when you swing the bat stuff. A little. You could do damage like Carlos Carrasco did.
Ooh, yeah.
I think we'll start there. Unfortunately, I mean, the Mets, you know, after a pretty first. Exciting offseason, this is a tough break for them. Carlos Carrasco tears his hamstring.
Literally.
And obviously won't be ready in time for opening day. They're saying probably 6 to 8 weeks ideal, probably even a little longer than that, depending on how things go. I think it was his push-off leg too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
I was looking at details earlier and forgot which leg it was. But so, I mean, obviously.
Well, it's one of the two.
I mean, it's one of the two, but in terms of for pitchers, you know, where the power comes from and then the road to recovery, I don't think it's as quick if it's their non-dominant leg. So,
right.
Yeah, bit of bad news for them. And certainly one of the early, I mean, there's always some injuries.
This wasn't a freak one, right? This wasn't a freak accident. This was like just a normal, you know, he just. Yeah, what was the detail that I sort of saw the headline, but I didn't see much more than that. It wasn't a freak one, was it? He wasn't reaching up for something like in a luggage compartment or chewing food and breaking a tooth or anything like that.
He was just running sprints on the field, according to multiple sources. This the piece I saw was Anthony Giacomo on MLB.com. The kicker is he'd been at Mets camp hoping his elbow would be healthy enough to keep him off the IL to open the season. He'd been having some elbow problems, and then he has this, which clearly, I mean, he was battling right elbow soreness through most of the beginning of this month, but he didn't think it was considered serious enough to keep him off the opening day roster, but clearly this will push him back on his recovery. I don't know what all you guys want to talk about, but one thing that I saw that I definitely want to talk about is Paul Dolan's statements on a Akron roundtable on WKSU, which is Cleveland and area radio station. He was fielding questions from Amanda Rabinowitz, and a couple of quotes. And so, I mean, we'll unpack these because there's two big things I want to talk about. One of them is the team name. So, according to Dolan, it could be sometime in the middle of this year, whether we know we've got it down where we can do it for 2022, he said. If not, we'd have to push it to 2023.
We're working hard to get it done by then,
but there's no certainty in that. Dolan added, there aren't many words in the English language that somebody doesn't own in some shape or form, particularly in the sports realm. That's a real challenge.
Oh, my goodness.
He is kicking the can even further down the road.
So wait a second here, because I'm surprised he didn't also blame COVID for this, because that's usually a nice excuse for anyone.
No, he's blaming copyright law now.
I mean, yeah, come on, like the Golden Knights, the crack, and I mean, we've had teams who have the Eskimos are going, or Edmonton football team or whatever, the Washington, like
Washington professional football.
This is, I mean, this is ridiculous. There's a million words in the English language.
Plus, on top of that,
isn't offensive that you can use.
According to station boss Jared, they already own the copyrights on like four different names.
Right. Exactly.
They've been prepping for this. They already own the copyrights. There's nothing.
Don't you feel a bit as that they want to milk every last dollar of this? Whatever they have, the merchandise and stuff.
It's disgusting.
Sure, but this has been dragging on for how many years, right? I mean, it's crazy. So you make this big announcement, oh, we're going to drop the name, but then later on, oh, we might drop it in 2021 or 2022 or 2023 or, well, you know, somewhere in this decade. You know, I mean, I just find it such disingenuous about, like, then don't make a big statement because it's not, right? Like, you're not. Brian, you're exactly right. If they've had four trademarks on different names, they've been thinking about this for a whole decade plus, right? This isn't just, it just came up, right? Nope. So I just don't understand this. To me, it's like the goodwill you could do by announcing a name and having it out for, I get it for this year, you know, it's already happening and stuff, but Even still, you could still.
Well, they went through this process last year before spring training, right, where they were like, we're going to do this. And they had the shortened season, and they could have said, you know what? Like, this is the time to pull the trigger.
Why can't they just say it's going to be the Spiders, like the old name it was prior to the existing one, and just call it a day? Like, I don't know how hard this is. Like, that's one of the names I believe they've trademarked, so yep. I don't know why this would be so hard. Like, there is history behind it, and you know, I mean, you can do that or any of the other three they've trademarked.
Yeah, really, I think easy. I can't remember all four that they trademarked, but I can remember three. Spiders is one, Naps is another one, and then I think, right, Buckeyes is the third one, right?
Yeah, the Naps seems a weird one. Like, that's again a very, I think, an old.
I hate it.
The manager. I'm not a big fan.
Don't like that name. And plus, like,
the Buckeyes doesn't make any sense, because I get it, it's about Ohio, but like, if you're in anything in a college sports, I mean, it's associated with the Ohio State, right? It's the Buckeyes, right?
So, and there isn't, as far as I can tell, I don't think there's a single professional sports team with the name Spiders.
No. And let me tell you right now, this is, you'd have to Google this up, but Fiat used to make a great car called the Spider, and they could get a good sponsorship out of that. like this, you'd have to really Google out.
That was University of Richmond goes by Spiders, ooh, but there you go. They're the only ones. They're the only ones.
I like the Spiders. I think that would be cool. Like you could do a lot of stuff with that. Like, and it's got some history behind it. That's what the original name of this of the baseball team was. Like,
yeah,
thousands of years ago, right? But mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just. You know, exactly what Michael, what you said at the start, it's just kicking the can here, right? You're just moving the goalpost to whenever it's convenient for you. And, you know, they're going to probably have some sham thing.
About, AKA oh, never.
Let's have the public vote on it. And they've already made the decision, right? And all this stuff. And I don't know. To me, it's like, you know, call me when you actually figure this out and get it going. Because this is at this point. I mean, even Jared, who's a massive Cleveland fan there, I don't know how you can cheer for this franchise until they get their act together. It's just bothersome. I mean, it's not that hard.
No, it was one of the first pieces of news I saw earlier today. And I was just like, oh my God, like reading these quotes, it's so disheartening because it's basically like boilerplate, the same stuff that they've said
every year,
over and over.
You know,
we understand like, that the name is problematic. We're looking into avenues to fix the name, to change the name. We don't know when we're going to be able to change it, but we want to change it. And then it's just the same thing the next year, over and over again, over and over again. And it's just disgusting. It's selling. The name is racist. The name is problematic. You know this. You've acknowledged it. Don't stall. If the Washington professional football team can do it. And their owner is Dan Snyder is totally awful
against it.
And he managed to get it done. So can like,
hasn't quite done it, but they did at least remove it. So yes, I mean, yes, exactly. I would agree with that. You know, the Washington football team was the one that was vehemently against change it because of, from the owner's perspective, and somewhere they've at least finally decided to see some of let's just, moving to the 21st century. But I mean, I don't know, at this point, it's, you know, if you don't want to change it, then don't go through the charade. Like to me, that's what it feels like. You're just going through the motions about saying that you want to do all this stuff. You say all the nice things, but you don't do anything. There's no action behind it. Then what, who cares?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So I said there was two things. The other one was Dolan, did address Cleveland's decision to trade Francisco Lindor. So the quote that they have him saying is, we could afford a player like Lindor. We just couldn't afford to build a team around him. Ugh. So pointing out that it's difficult for a small market team to dedicate so much payroll to one player. Now, Lindor was down to last year of team control, would be scheduled to earn $22.3 million. Likely to score, you know, a very significant contract when he is a free agent. But without him, the current payroll, this is according to Jason Martinez of Roster Resource, is $53 million.
Yeah.
The claims of poverty on the part of a, you know, billionaire owner of a baseball team who, yes, there was no gate last season, but that doesn't mean there wasn't revenue.
Teams made money. The teams made money. The teams, I want to continue to, the teams made money. You can take a look at the Atlanta Braves books, and as long as they were playing baseball, when they were playing baseball, they made money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like to me about this, is, you know, it goes back to the have and have nots, right? So you're going to have what, 6 or 8, 10 teams maybe at the most who can afford these players, and the other 20 are just minor league teams dressed up as major league teams, right? I don't know, that's a great rallying cry to get people back into your stadium, isn't it? Like, if you're a Cleveland fan, like, what are you like? So you're like, oh, good. So we're going to be like this now for at least 5 or 6 years, right? Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but you can, like, there are teams that are trying to find a way to do this, right? Like, you know, you can, it's just an excuse. It's just an excuse. Like you had, they were in the world. They almost won.
They
the
were
world
one
Series.
Rain delay away yeah. from winning
they
the
were,
World
they,
Series.
They almost
literally
won the World Series. And they had
one rain delay away
there.
From it.
And to me, it's just like, I, you know, maybe as I get older and stuff, but I just find it like, if you're not going for it, what are you doing with these franchises? Like I get, or at least have a plan. They don't have a plan. They're just dumping salary. They're just doing bottom line now. They don't care. I mean, because they had a chance to build this nucleus around it. Like it's just, I think it's just ridiculous statement because mm-hmm. you can build around that. I mean, you know, if you have the foresight, I don't know, why don't you look at San Diego? Not a big market team in any sense. I mean, so sure they play in California, but they're certainly not one of the juggernauts. And somehow they figured out how to try and build a team around. Now we'll see if it works or not. But on paper, they're building something. I mean, even I'll give you this. How about the Kansas City Royals? We've laughed about them for the last couple of years. Guess what? That team is actually going to.
They did right by their fans.
They won, okay, but they went through some of the trouble here, and there's something there. They're building something again here, right? Like, and it doesn't hurt. Like they're in a division that you know they can make maybe a little bit of a run, but I mean at least they haven't given up. I mean he's literally saying we've given up. We're gonna pass for the next 3 or 4 years until we find the next Lindor for cheap. That's what I hear.
Well, what it also says is we're never going to field a team with a superstar.
No, exactly.
Well,
if you're saying that we can't.
You can do that on the cheap. They had no problem.
Well, no, they're
going to
have like
until...
a few years if they, you know, draft yeah. or develop a guy
yeah.
who plays at a superstar level that they can control for a few years. But after sure. that period of control, they're never going to keep a player like that.
Yeah. And it's
what
just
saying,
sends
right
such a
that it's like
message.
We're always going to have undervalued players, or you know, like a team of scrubs.
Right. I mean, how about this? I'll give Brian's. How about the Blue Jays? You know, the Blue Jays. You know, they went through that dry spell a bit, built it back, and then they spent some money this year. Right. We were complaining what we're going to do offseason. Springer. Right.
I mean, they spent a bunch of money when they were good before too. I was never worried that they weren't going to spend the money.
Yeah, they've had a good
because when they were
of...
good, right? When 2015,
yeah,
but... they took the swings. They
oh,
went
no, no,
out
no, no,
and they
no,
got
no.
David
yeah, yeah.
Price. They got Tulowitzki.
No yeah, yeah, yeah. That, but
no, but you know, but they've shown the willingness to spend the money when the team is good, and that's what matters, right? Like
yeah.
whereas Cleveland has shown that even when the team is the second best team in baseball, they won't spend the money.
Right, that where if you needed a little bit of a push, maybe after that, you know, near win, you know, on a fan base that is Jared in his lifetime, he wants to see one victory, right? They're right up there with the Cubs now, and you know, not the length, but I mean, they've gone 50, 60 years without a World Series, and they've had, you know, they have 100 plus year history there of that franchise. I mean, you're that close and you didn't go. You just said, well, that was good enough. You know what I mean? Like they just didn't make the push again. Like, I mean, the Royals got close and they made the second push to make sure to try and win the one, right? Like to win one. If they win one, it's like the Cubs are good for a next, you know, I mean, no one wants to hear this, but they're good for a generation. You know what I mean? They won their one. Right. That's why it was so important. Like, I don't get it. Like, it's just like look how long it took the Dodgers, and the Dodgers just spent billions of dollars on these teams in the last 10, 15 years. And they finally got one after 30 plus years. Right. Like, it's hard to win these, like, especially in baseball. Like, there's only so many teams that win this. Right. Wait till the Yankees, you know, the Yankees haven't won in 10 plus years. That's a huge, you know, drought for them. Right. And they've loaded up again, and Boston will start loading up again, and, you know, whatever. And the Dodgers, like St. Louis, like these teams aren't going to go anywhere. And so when you have your window, you got to go for it. And they just drop the ball, and they, you know, if I was a fan of that franchise, I'd be like, well, that's it. I mean, their window's over, and good luck for the next 4 or 5 years until you find the next Lindor, if you can.
I think the thing that ties these two stories together ultimately is disdain, right? That they seem to have disdain for their fans and disdain for indigenous population and, you know, the people who care about the team, you know, that it's like, we're not going to bother fielding a competitive team with, you know, the money to back it up. We're not going to bother to actually change the name when we acknowledge that it's a problem.
Right.
It's, I think, all part and parcel of, like, you know, just an attitude about, like, it's my team, so I can do whatever the F I want.
Yeah, totally. And I think you hit it on the nail there, Michael. I think there's a part of when you were saying that, to me, the word that screamed out was urgency. There's no urgency on either one of those cases, right? There should be urgency to change the name and get a new nickname. And the urgency should be to keep that nucleus in place. So when you had the new nickname, you know, you could sell those stars with the new uniforms and the new name. And you know what I mean? Like, they could have done such a win-win here instead of such a lose-lose right now. Like, down the road, they'll finally figure out a nickname and they'll sell a gazillion new jerseys and you know, merchandise and all that stuff. But do you have to go through these 2-3 years of this ridiculousness? They could have had this all done.
And I mean, we're talking about set
up for this year.
We talk about how, you know, they're crying poor, right? What brings in more revenue stream than redesigning a jersey and a logo?
Like, take a look at, like, the Jets with their third or fourth jersey or fifth, whatever jersey they're using, right? Like, the retro this and that. But you know what? It sells. Like, it sells. Like, you know what I mean? And so they come up with a new nickname, a new merch, a new jersey. Like, of course, Brian. Like, I mean, and you would get fans. They're going to be coming back, especially in the States this year, right? And oh my goodness, I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, obviously, hey, you know, he wanted to save a dollar, he wanted to keep the dollar. Hey, he's a billionaire and we're not, right? So I guess whatever, right? But I don't know. It seems you're right there, Michael. I feel like that's a bit of a slap in the face to the fan base.
Well, I mean, not that we've been keeping a running tally of terrible owners, but you can certainly put Paul Dolan way up there. I don't know if there's any of the things you guys wanted to talk about, but I did want to have maybe a little thought exercise about something if you don't have something.
Ooh, a thought pressing. Exercise.
I happen to be listening to the Joe Posnanski podcast with Bob Costas as his guest.
Oh, nice.
And they were talking about, you know, possibilities for, you know, expanded postseason.
Yeah, has that been finalized?
It has not been finalized, but the discussion was... So
you're talking about for this year, we do not know what the postseason is going to look like yet.
Right. So Costas, you know, pitched his own idea for it that I thought was kind of interesting was that, so.
Can we have him as the commissioner? He seems like he knows a thing or two about.
I'll bet you he likes the game better than Rob Manfred.
Well, that would be 100%.
Certainly based on, you know, his discussion with Posnanski, he's more invested in the game. And I don't think he views the trophy as a hunk of metal. So. but no, in terms of the idea with the expanded postseason, you know, if you're worried about that meaning, you know, the World Series then is like even later, the idea would be to shorten it to 156, which there is for the regular season. There's historically been a few seasons that are 156, you know, not down to the 152 level. But if you shave off down to 156, you're taking away 1-3 game home and 1-3 game away stand for each team.
I'm okay with that.
So it's a relatively easy thing to do.
I've been banging on the drum of shorter seasons for a while. So,
and then, you know, that way, the one thing it does allow you to do is with the expanded postseason also go to 7 for each series. Because as he one of the things, you know, the vagaries of, like, you know, a 5-game series, if you've been one of the higher ranked teams, sometimes you should get some benefit to that, right?
Yes.
And those 5-game series don't, like, things can swing so quickly in a 5-game in the way that a 7 generally can favor the better team in some sense. So I think, you know, so every series in the postseason then would be a 7-game series. And I mean, if they're wanting more playoff baseball, I mean,
right,
that right there is a good thing. right, in terms of interest and eyeballs and contracts for, you know, broadcast schedules and such.
I would have totally agree. I've been banging this one too about that. I don't know why they wouldn't want more postseason, especially this is if you're baseball, the casual fan comes in for the postseason. They're not watching the 162 games, right? They're watching maybe a couple here and there, but the postseason is where baseball really excels. Like, you know, yep, where it matters is that, you know, you don't get, you know, people actually care about it. And then those at bats, the drama of the sport gets magnified in the postseason, you know, and it's fantastic. I'll tell you this, please eliminate the play-in game or whatever that ridiculousness.
No, is. I like that.
Well, what he actually proposes is expanding, so because you would add an extra wild card team.
Okay.
And so then you would basically have like kind of like two play-ins.
Oh boy. Okay.
I love the play-in game. There's so much excitement.
The one seed would then get to pick who they wanted to face out of the remaining teams.
Sure.
See, that'll never happen because baseball players are boring for the most part. They'll just pick who they're supposed to pick because they don't want to provide bulletin board material. This has been an argument for a lot of different sports, is that they'll just pick who they're supposed to pick because they don't want any bulletin board material. So it'll just be a lot of it'll be a lot of fake intrigue, basically.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I mean, yeah, the playing is a bit, I'm not the biggest, like they're just doing that now for basketball. I feel it's just a bit of a sham thing a bit, because it's like either you're in or not. Like, let's just get it going. Like, to me, I'm totally with seven game series. There's a reason NBA, this is going back a bit, but NBA basketball, their first round used to be five games, and the that's where they had some of the upsets of the top seeds. And then they figured out, one, well, we can make more revenue with seven, but two, we don't want the big teams to lose in the first round. That doesn't help the sport, right? That doesn't help,
no,
you know, generate any of that. Plus also baseball, then it just to me, it makes a mockery of the whole regular season. Then why play 156 if your top team is out after two games, right? You know, or three games, right? They can get swept, you know, or three or four or five, whatever. But yeah, it does favor that you could have more upsets, but then why have, like, then what advantage is it to you know, to go, you know, you know, bust it out there to try and get to the number one seed after 156 or 162, whatever.
I mean, the seven game series does not, and statistically proven, does not solve any of the luck problems. There is statistically a marginal difference in between a five game series and a seven game series.
I think there's a better chance for that. I mean, it
doesn't really though. The math does not agree. No, Zook. The math does not agree.
I don't really care
about
the math.
That's fine, but I'm just telling you that, like, your gut feelings wrong.
I don't know about that because the math
proves you wrong though.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, I don't. The math is the math. That's like me telling you that the sky is blue and you go, I don't know, man, it's green. Come on. You're smarter than that. If the math says that there's such a marginal difference in between five and seven actually getting the better team, then there's a marginal difference.
Sure. Well, I agree that seven. But I think it's the revenue also is the extra bonus.
That's the big thing.
That's
the big thing.
And I just think also it's like if you're going to play that out, to me, why don't you just have as much postseason as possible? Because the postseason is where it's at. It's where you get the casual fan comes in. It's where the baseball nuts are totally into it. And you can have like 6 weeks of baseball that really matters, right? You could have it at the end of September and goes all the way to the end of October. Sign me up for that, right? I mean, because you want your best players on the best stage. And you know what? It's still where NFL isn't quite, you know, they're just into the start of their season. People care about postseason baseball still, right? I mean, you know, the numbers might not be what they were in the heydays back in when there was only, you know, three channels on TV or whatever. But that said, I'm a big believer about, I think the one thing that they could get out of this is the expanded postseason. And I have no problem if they went down to 156. That's fine. So you lose one three-game homestand. Big deal. You know what I mean? So you gain, if you're a really good team, guess what? You'd gain three probably in a postseason. So it's a wash, and you probably make more money in the postseason anyways.
Yeah, so the Costas plan, it would add a wild card spot. So then the wild card, there would be a wild card series best of three. And then the winner of the wild card would then get to face. I mean, admittedly, like, you know, he does say, you know, you could do as it is now in terms of the seeding based on regular season. So, you know, 1-2-3, and then it's like a 2-3, and then the one in the wild card. But, you know, the suggestion being that you could let the one pick whomever. The one other sort of big change would be, it would be 2-2-3 for home and away, rather than the 2-3-2 as it stands for a 7-game series.
2-3. So
So two home, two away, three home. To give the home team more of an advantage. They
actually could get up to 5 games out of the 7 at home.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You'll never get the owners to agree with that. I think that is way better for baseball, way smarter, and that provides more of a better team winning the series.
That's the thing, changing the number of games,
but you're never going to get the owners to agree with that.
But you know, why wouldn't you, if you, I don't know, now we're getting into the nitty gritty a little bit here, but yeah, I mean, to me, there's something about that, right? I mean, that makes a bit more sense. Maybe you would just split one of the gates then, you know? I mean, again, they would never do that, right? But I don't know. Like, to me, yeah, if you, again, because the problem is, it's sort of where Costas is coming. It sounds like he's coming from a bit of more of a sports purist angle, as opposed to kind of where Manfred and baseball usually is coming from, a business model.
Well, he's coming from a sports thing, but like, I think there's a business aspect to this too. Well, and the recognition that the, you know, expanded playoffs are probably an inevitability, but how to do it in such a way that is, I think, honors the regular season in some way.
No. I totally agree with that. I think Brian probably is right about that, that it'd be a hard sell to most of the owners there. Maybe, you know, if you, yeah, it's sort of like, I don't know if it'd be more of an increment to sort of get to that. But I mean, I'm a bit surprised here. We haven't finalized what the postseason is for 2021. I think that's just so ridiculous, right? I mean, to this day, I mean, we somewhere found out about the DH, but on the DL, like, I mean, like, when did the DH thing ever get resolved? Like, I just know that, I guess it isn't universal DH this year, but did that ever get officially, like, you know what I mean? Like,
to no,
me,
I don't think we've actually heard anything official from Major League Baseball about it.
Yeah, Major League Baseball is treating these kind of rules change like they're choosing a new pope or something. Yeah, like, we're all just waiting for the gray smoke.
Right, but that's just insane, right? Like, opening day is in 2 weeks' time, isn't it? Like, I don't know. Sometimes you just shake your head, right? Like, how are you supposed to support or defend this Major League Baseball sometimes when they can't just get ahead of themselves? They just
tell people all the time, I love baseball. I do not like the MLB.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have kind of a monopoly in North America about that right now.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Real quick here.
Did anyone see about Miggy Cabrera giving the thumbs up to AJ Hinch? That he said he was fine with the trash banging and stuff like that, and he was great that he's our manager this year. I guess what else was he going to say? But I don't have
enough time to express all my thoughts on this.
All right, let's leave that for next week a bit. There, I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's a good teaser for next week. How about that?
Well, yeah, we'll light a match and set Brian on fire to start next episode off. Stick around, of course. Democracy Now coming up at noon and pity party.
I actually haven't decided yet, Zook. So,
I'm stunned by that. How can you pump up your show when you have no idea what's going on?
It's going to be great.
I still have
baseball right now.
I still have 12 hours to put it together. So
you're like Manfred.
I have 12 hours to put it together.
It should be just baseball. It'd just be baseball themed. Just
we'll have a show before we have a DH rule.
No, I actually do have a baseball show that I can do.
Nice.
But I save it usually for opening day.
Okay, that's smart. I'll give you that one there. The math works on that one. I can give you that one.
Well, on that note, we will wrap things up. Chris Zook?
Hey, and you can play ball!
Oh, my God.
Strike 3, you're out!